So here we are with Toby White, one of the founders of Gem and Jam Festival, as well as Cascade Equinox out in Oregon. Toby's also with Symbiosis Gathering. Yeah, so Toby, so glad to have you on here today. How's it going, man, out in the West Coast?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
So we got Toby White on the podcast, throwing festivals, you know, Arizona, Oregon.
California.
How the hell did you end up doing all this crazy festival stuff?
You know, it happened pretty organically, I guess. So I was going to school in Flagstaff, Arizona for hotel and restaurant management, more hospitality sort of oriented stuff. And I never really wanted to be in that. I wanted more of the, you know, how do you entertain people sort of kind of career. And I wasn't sure that, you know, at that point in my life, I wasn't really sure where I was going, but you know, during that time, I kind of started, you know, playing around with some just parties and things like that, you know, booking some spots, having some DJs or whatever. That's kind of transitioned into, I guess, the point where, you know, a friend of mine was down in Tucson every year for the Gem Show, and there wasn't really much going on, you know, for entertainment and having a good time. So he kind of threw out the idea, hey, you know, come on down, I'll fund you to do this. And that's sort of how the first one started. So, you know, that was my first sort of bigger thing that I had done. And, you know, it's it definitely had its challenges its first year, but, you know, found that I really enjoyed it and definitely wanted to keep it going. So that was back in 2005. So yeah, it's been about 18 years now.
Man, 18 years. Did you imagine you would do this at all when you were younger?
No, not really. I don't think that this was ever necessarily the plan. And I don't think that necessarily I thought when I was starting this or even years into it, that this would be kind of where I'd be at this point in my life. I think it was sort of a, you know, I thought it was a more of a stepping stone to the next thing, but, you know, as life sometimes goes, it just, you know, things sort of happen in certain ways. And here we are now. So, you know, we got Gem and Jam, you know, in its 15th, just had its, or about to be its 15th year. I guess we had just had it our 15th year, and took a few years off over the years. And, you know, we got really excited about the idea of putting on another festival, and in Bend, Oregon region, Central Oregon seemed like the right spot for it. It was kind of lacking anything in that kind of wheelhouse. So we decided to kind of jump in and get started on it. And so now we're, you know, going to be in our first year here in September.
Yeah. So first year, Goose and Pretty Lights headlining. Like, what are some of the unique challenges with a festival throwing it in its first year?
Oh, well, you know, obviously figuring out how a venue works, you know, the good thing is, you know, with Gem and Jam, we do it at a fairgrounds. And so, you know, a lot of the infrastructure is there, you know, it's more turnkey than a lot of other spaces that you might go to that might be off grid and having to bring everything in. The fairgrounds is really nice because you have all that infrastructure. And so when we, you know, we're kind of looking to, you know, do another event, the fairgrounds is sort of like what we were really looking at. That was, we already knew that that worked the best for us. And so, you know, I think the challenges have come really with just making sure, you know, you don't know where your competition is. You don't know if you're stepping on toes in new regions. You want to be delicate with that. I think, you know, there's been people that have been doing this for years, and you really want to be respectful of, you know, what people have created. And so I think, you know, I would say it comes with its challenges. I think, you know, things worked out pretty well. I think people were pretty receptive to what we were trying to do here. And so, yeah, I think we, you know, kind of gave people what they were looking for, and we're definitely really bringing the local community into it. So I think that kind of, you know, made everyone feel a lot better about what we were doing. You know, obviously I live here in Bend. My partners do not, most of them do not. I have one partner, Stacy from Four Peaks, who has been doing events for years. And so, you know, that was sort of a goal, was to kind of bring sort of someone who's been doing it for a while here with whatever we were doing, you know, elsewhere. And that's worked out really well so far. So, you know, back to the biggest challenges, it's sort of, you know, figuring out how the new space is going to work for us and how, where things are going to go and who our vendors are going to be. And, you know, there's just, it's literally starting from scratch. So fortunately we have a lot of relationships and things and a great staff that we can kind of put into place again from, you know, Gem and Jam, and bringing, you know, some locals on board here that have worked with Four Peaks. And so I think it's, you know, this has been not as challenging as maybe some other, starting another festival for its first year. I think there's been it's been an easy transition for us.
So, and you know, when you think of starting something new, starting a new festival, what kind of aspects of it are most important to you that, you know, you and your team get right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we want to create something that's fresh and new and dynamic. I think, you know, I think with Gem and Jam, we've sort of created something that's, you know, more niche with what it is at this point. It's sort of kind of fallen into this place, which is great. But I think, you know, this was something that, you know, I'd started back when I was, you know, in my early 20s, and now, you know, being 43, I want different things out of a music festival than I did, you know, when I was in my 20s. So I think a lot of that, and my partners are all, you know, we're all kind of similar in age. We all kind of wanted something that would be really attractive to all of us as well in our community. So
I think, break that down for me. Like what the key things?
Key things. I mean, you know, we want everyone to have an experience that they're wanting, right? So there's some people, you know, that just, they want to be sitting at a stage, you know, dancing all day. There's other people who want to get off their feet and they want to go enjoy a glass of wine. So for, you know, for Cascade, we're creating a space called The Grove, which super excited about. It's more of a, you know, like a high-end space where it's got wine tasting and beer flights and, you know, more boutique shopping and lounges. And, you know, there's going to be a photo booth and, you know, music, comedians, things like that. So you can kind of go into this space that's not your typical scenario at a music festival. So I think, you know, we're trying to create something that's more, you know, more broad for everybody. So like, you know, whether you're 5 years old or you're, you know, 65, you're going to enjoy it just the same. And that's been pretty much the goal. It's kind of giving something that everyone can enjoy and doesn't kind of fit into a mold.
What's your thinking behind how a lot of festivals cater to a niche, like a bluegrass festival, electronic festival? And, you know, when you're putting together your festival, like what's your thinking behind how you've kind of had, you know, really just diverse artists?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that kind of comes with the uniqueness of having partners too, that are all sort of, we all kind of have different styles of music that we like. And so we can kind of bring those together. And I guess the thought process is really, you know, you want enough crossover with these genres that, you know, it could be electronic or bluegrass, but it doesn't matter because a lot of people like all that same music, you know? And so we wanted to kind of diversify it as much as we could, so that, you know, we could, you know, as many people would be interested in it as possible. But at the same time, having enough music that you come to see and enjoy, like not just seeing one act that you know, might know. It's more, you know, you might see 15 acts or 10 acts that you know and resonate with, but they're totally different styles of music. And so I think that was like, you know, one of the challenge, but also kind of like something that, you know, my team's really good at is finding those correct acts that can kind of do just that.
Yeah, so Pretty Lights coming out of nowhere and announcing Cascade Equinox. Like, what's the story behind landing that?
Fortunately for us, my manager or my partner is his manager. And so that was sort of something that, you know, gave us an opportunity to, you know, look at, you know, it's, you know, obviously he didn't have to choose this, and it was sort of presented in a way because it's, you know, it sounded like something that that Pretty Lights was excited about, not just because, you know, his manager was putting it on, but it was something that sounded cool and unique. And so obviously that helped with the process of getting that going. You know, I think the acts that we had along with booking him were a big part. I think it was like, I need to know who else is part of this. And I think when Derek, you know, discovered who else was on the lineup, I think it excited him and he wanted to be part of it.
Hi, I'm Katie, producer of Weird Music Podcast. I want to give a big shout out to Voodoo Ranger. Live Rangerously.
Well, if you made it this far, thank you for listening. Just want to let y'all know we've got these hand-dyed, ice-dyed Weird Music Podcast hoodies and also tees. If you'd like one, let us know. We'd love to get you one. And a big thank you to the geniuses over at Thrax CBD for sponsoring us with their amazing products. Also, want to give a big thank you to J&J Distribution, Ohio's premier Delta 8 and CBD wholesale supplier. Retailers, check out their brands Cloud 8, Compassionate Buds, and Zaza. Got links in the description. And yeah, much love, y'all. Now back to the episode.
I want to pivot a little bit, and you know, you mentioned your other partners. Throwing festivals involves coordinating so many different teams. You know, what have you come to learn about team dynamics and just coordinating with people that is most important for things to go well?
Totally. I mean, I think that is the most important thing right there with what you said, is putting together the best team, you know. And I think, you know, after years of experience, you know, I've worked with people that, you know, are difficult to work with and that you don't mold with, and you kind of, you know, you have issues and you don't always see eye to eye. And I think the fortunate thing for me, I think with, you know, with Gem and Jam, there was years of working with, you know, same partners and really gaining trust and understanding and all, you know, kind of knowing what our strong suits were and how to communicate with each other. And, you know, when we decided to do Cascade, we were looking at it being a bigger event, you know, a much broader, you know, growth, you know, for the long term. And so we really wanted to put the right team together. And so I actually had brought in a couple of my partners from Symbiosis Gathering as well, along with, like I said, Stacy from Four Peaks. And I saw all these partners kind of being able to work together. And, you know, we had met up here, I guess it was last fall, and kind of had everyone come up and do a little site visit and see the space and get to know each other. And everyone brought their significant others and families. And we just spent some time together, kind of getting to know each other and, you know, figuring out who we all are. And so I think that was a really crucial piece to this whole thing, was really just creating this team that all have really amazing strong suits, but can also work really well with others and communicate well and really, you know, see the vision through. And, you know, I think we're all sort of, you know, there's seven of us that are putting this on right now. And I've kind of been the, you know, the one who started the idea and kind of pushing a lot of things forward, but I would be nothing without my team and my partners. They're, you know, they're amazing at what they do. And everybody, like I said, everybody has their strong suits that we sort of just let go, you know, let them do their thing. And that really, that's what it's all about. So, you know, and as far as the additional team coming in, we've also, you know, had a lot of these people working with us for years. And so we trust them, we see how hardworking they are, and they can mesh with what we're doing. So, you know, it's, you kind of trim the fat as you go. And we definitely have trimmed most of the fat, and we have just, you know, all stars on our team at this point.
So in crunch time, like, you know, festivals going on, XYZ happens. Talk to me about what you've learned you need to stay away from doing. Like, how do you handle those types of situations as well as you can?
Well, I guess that depends on what the scenario is. You know, we've had a lot of different sort of things happen over the years, whether it be security related or, you know, medical situation or, you know, technical difficulties or whatever it is. I think all of those things kind of fall into a place where you kind of have to lean towards the person that's your expert there, right? So if there's something that's happening that's, you know, there's a medical situation that's serious, you hang back a little bit and you let your medical team take care of it. And you do all the proper protocols, you follow the guidelines of what you've learned and what they want you to, you know, kind of implement. Same thing for security. You know, if there's a security issue, we were hands off and we allow our, you know, have our security team kind of focus on that and do it the way they're supposed to do it so that it's done correctly and there's no legal situation that might come up. It's, you know, we trust in our people to kind of handle the situation. You know, if it's something where, you know, in Gem and Jam, we've had major wind issues and, you know, structures being questionable with, you know, the shade or whatever, you basically have to act fast and you have to act with your, you know, again, the proper people, and you make sure that you keep everyone safe. And, you know, and that's the first, that's the main goal. And, you know, you get on top of it as quickly as possible.
Well, Toby, man, great to get to know you here. Cascade Equinox, it seems freaking amazing. You know, so many festivals you see kind of like dropping off, you know, and very interesting to see some popping up. You know, I don't have a very good understanding of the Pacific Northwest and what the scene's like up there, but, you know, sounds like you're bringing a pretty awesome thing up there.
Yeah. It's, we're pretty excited about it. I think it's, I think people are going to be really into what we're doing. I think it's, you know, like I said, for this area, there's not really much going on like this. And so I think, you know, it kind of allows us to be creative in a different way and, you know, try to make something really cool.
So Symbiosis Gathering, talk to me about this Eclipse Festival that you threw.
Yeah, so we actually, in 2017, there was a total solar eclipse that was running through the United States, and there was a the line of totality basically ran through Oregon, in central Oregon, and it's kind of around Prineville, which is about 45 minutes or so from Redmond, which is where we were putting on the event. And yeah, there was a private property up there, and kind of at the time our partners were looking at spaces of totality, you know, basically where was that perfect place to see it, and kind of going, you know, zooming in on maps just to see where, you know, what might work. And you know, landed on this property, and yeah, it was pretty amazing. 7-day festival, about 250 musical acts. There was 11 or 12 musical stages, workshops, about, you know, 65,000 people showed up for it. It was pretty incredible, you know, hot air balloon rides, and, you know, it was definitely one of the most next level things. It was a very international event. You know, we had different groups from, you know, around the globe basically helping out and doing, you know, different sort of stages or, you know, installations, and just, you know, kind of joining together on an international level to do this thing.
And what was the moment of totality like?
That was actually my first total solar eclipse, and it was unbelievable. You know, it's as it starts to happen, you know, you have about 65,000 people that are literally, there was silence going on during this period of time. And the temperatures were about 90 degrees or so, and then it dropped to like 50 within, you know, minutes, and went dark, and everybody's just kind of like, you know, doing exactly the same thing, looking at this thing. And it's quite the experience. Yeah, it's like, I think everybody needs to see an eclipse. And yeah, I think it was a very special, you know, an event. And you know, all in all, it's just like, for 65,000 people showing up at this thing, there was, I mean, I would say it was close to as good as it could get as far as things going on. And you know, that doesn't happen very often where you can say that about something so large.
That's crazy to put something like that on. Yeah. So epic.
Yeah.
Man. Well, if you listen this far, check out the description. We got a link, Cascade Equinox tickets. It's gonna be something special out there in Oregon. Toby, man, thank you for taking the time here, joining me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
So I got just a couple more questions starting to wrap up. I'd love to hear how you foresee just the music festivals landscape, you know, jam EDM festivals over the next 5 to 10 years, and just kind of what you foresee that looking like.
You know, I think it's, as we've seen this year, you know, there's been a lot of struggle in the festival markets. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of companies that have been around for a while that are, you know, having a really difficult time, and others that are new that are, you know, experiencing the same sort of scenario. I think it's, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say what the future holds, but I think having a diverse lineup and you know, diversifying your genres is really an important part of this. Because if you stay so in one lane, I think you kind of, you narrow your audience, and then there's also a lot of competition that you're always going to struggle with. So I think if you kind of make yourself really special and unique, and, you know, step above what everyone else is doing, try to be special in some different kind of way, then I think, you know, you'll attract those people, and people will talk and people will come. And, you know, if you aren't 100% on, if you aren't, you know, dialed with your budget, or you don't know, you know, everything's not completely clear, and you don't have a strong, you know, stronghold on your business, then you're probably going to struggle. And so, you know, I think it's, you know, I think starting out right now, it's going to be a really difficult time to do that. But I think, you know, we will see a drop in the amount of festivals, I think, in the next few years. And I think we'll see a lot of the other ones kind of getting a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, or stay about the same. I mean, we never know what's going to happen to the economy. So we just kind of need to know what you're doing is going to work, and believe in it. And hopefully it just kind of goes your way.
So my next question with you, what have you come to learn is most important with being a great leader?
I think being a great leader means listening, allowing everybody to be heard, and allowing everybody to, you know, give their input, and you know, transparency, and just being respectful, and, you know, understanding that people have different kinds of personalities, and I work through all those personalities, and, you know, just be kind, I think is the biggest thing. And know that, you know, you don't want to have an ego with it. You want to be someone that, you know, is approachable. And I think that is, for me, one of the biggest things, is just being real. I mean, I try to just be who I am in general, and you know, I think that a lot of the leadership sort of comes with that. It's just sort of, you know, putting all the pieces together and making sure that everyone's, you know, feeling okay and able to kind of proceed without any issues. And if there are, then they can talk about them, and we can try to resolve them.
Listening. Same as being a musician.
That's right.
My last question, what is the personality trait that you would say you most admire in people you're surrounded by, and, you know, in yourself, like what personality traits in general?
I would say, you know, modesty and respectfulness. Hardworking, transparent. I think all those are important things. I think it's, you know, like I said, I think for me, the biggest thing is ego. I hate when ego gets in the way, and yeah, usually doesn't with our team. I think it's something that really resonates to me, is everybody kind of, you know, it's not just in business, but in real life too. Everyone's sort of, that's how people function and operate. And I think that's where I thrive, is being similar people like me. And so, you know, I think those are the biggest things.
Well, hell yeah, Toby. Put on some freaking awesome events, man. Thank you. You know, on behalf of all of us concert lovers, you know, thank you for doing what you do. And yeah. If you're listening, Cascade Equinox, link in the description. Take care, y'all.
All right, take care.
Well, there you have it. Thanks for tuning in. And a big thank you to Ticket Relief for sponsoring Weird Music Podcast. If you're an event organizer out there, Ticket Relief can help you keep your fees low while making sure all aspects of ticketing go smoothly. As well, Ticket Relief plants trees on behalf of every ticket sold with the events they work with. So, yeah, we've got a link in the description for you to check them out. And thank you to the rest of our sponsors. Much love, y'all.